in heaven. Let me claim what a lovely name. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight, and I won't try and keep us too long tonight. It's a cold night. Sister Jen passed away. I didn't know anything at all about it, to be honest. My son-in-law messaged me today and said, did he hear about it? He'd been getting a car fixed. You know how Jackie has a mechanics shop over there. And I knew she wasn't too well. And she had some problem with the kidneys. And she just went on to be with the Lord. So the funeral's tomorrow in Dungannon, Elam at 12 o'clock. Tomorrow at Dungannon, Elam at 12 o'clock. So me and Sister Sharon hopefully will be going along. And you know, Jen, she had a powerful testimony. That time she had the car accident. And David Robinson, the big David Robinson, he's went on to be with the Lord now as well. He prayed for her and the Lord healed her. She's in a wheelchair. And the Lord raised her out of it, and she went back into the, I don't know if it was Jackie's parents or her parents, but when she walked in, they were in shock because she couldn't walk. But the Lord really touched her, and she had a powerful testimony. But she's went on, and she's in a far better place. She wouldn't come back. She went to a fairer land, praise God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, praise God. I want us tonight to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I know I'm coming back a couple of chapters, but it's just something I want to try and bring out tonight about David. I was going to go into the next chapter, 19 I think it was, and I started in it, and then I just kept thinking about this and went back in this. Saul tried to kill David 8 times, and David spared Saul on 2 different occasions. And I was going to go into all that and go through some of that, but I just felt to try and bring this tonight. I won't get into all of this tonight. This is just a wee bit, some thoughts, because there's so much in it. And it's about the 3 anointings of David. Let's just read a scripture and then we can be seated. Praise God. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, verse 12 and 13. The Lord bless each one tonight that's here. And maybe some couldn't make it tonight. It is cold weather, but the Lord bless each one. 1 Samuel 16, verses 1, then verses 12 and 13. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, saying, I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramoth. Let's just bow again tonight while we pray. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord while every head's bowed and every eye closed tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that the blood of Jesus will cover us in this room, our lives afresh, wash us and cleanse us from every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. May every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit, and may you have your way in our lives and in our midst this evening. Father, we do pray for the hands raised tonight. You know every individual. You know every single need. And I'm asking you in the name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus, that you'll meet every single need tonight. Father, we pray for Jackie that you'll comfort him and strengthen him. And all the Meneal family, Lord, that you'll comfort them and strengthen them. We thank you for the life of Sister Jen and for the great testimonies that you had. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that Paul said, absent from the body, but present with the Lord, which is far better. Lord, bless your word to their hearts tonight and speak to us for a time in this service. And any that couldn't be here tonight, just lay aside sick or afflicted. Cover them with your precious blood. And I do pray, Lord, as we leave this house on the roads, that you protect each one and keep each one safe, going in and coming out, as we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you'll direct our paths. And we thank you for it. And Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, I think I don't really want to go into the full life story of David, but I could do, and I might do at some point. There's so much in it. And this book of Samuel's just been a lot more than I expected when I started it. There's just so much in it. So much in it, and that's only one book in the Bible. The Bible is a vast book for our admiration and knowledge. And one of the most remarkable things in the life story of David is seen in the fact that he received three separate distinct anointings. Now, I've never heard nobody preach this. I never knew anything about this, but I found it, and it's right. And there's three distinct times, separate times, when he was anointed. And I want to look at that briefly, and I want to look at this anointing. And you know, if it's in the Bible, and God sets it out like that, it's for a reason, and it's for a purpose. And I believe, I'm a big believer in numbers, and you know, there's the threes and the fives and the sevens. And they have all meaning scripturally, praise God. And this is the first time here you could say, and I also want to say that he's the only person in Scripture specifically said to have received these three separate anointings. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit coming on him now. I'm talking about three times when he was anointed by the prophet or whatever we'll see tonight. And it says he's the only one that received this. And this is important. This is unique. I believe David is unique. David's a real type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And David is really unique, really. And we maybe should go sometime into the life of David and really go at it and go into it, every detail of it. It would be a real blessing, wouldn't it? And there's so many things we could see about the Lord. This, David's first anointing in the midst of his brethren, and I did preach it a few weeks back, where they were all lined up and all of them was rejected and all of them was refused. And the prophet of God said, there's another one. And Jesse said, well, there's another wee fella, but he's sort of out looking after the sheep. He more or less was saying you'd hardly want him, but he was the one. And Samuel said, we'll not rest till you go and get him. And he knew that was the one. God told him that is the one. So the first anointing is before his brethren. Then I want you to see the second anointing in 2 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 11. This is the second anointing of David in 2 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 4, verse 7, and 11. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah hath anointed me king over them. Verse 11, and the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Now, when I went into this, this has helped me a lot. I'll tell you why. Because when he's first anointed, he doesn't seem to be taking the position. Now, understand what I'm saying. He's anointed king, but he doesn't seem to be taking the position. And Saul still learned. Saul still mentioned as king. But here now, we're reading Saul's dead. And here now, we're reading these men has anointed David king over the house of Judah. And these are separate anointings. And this second anointing is king over the house of Judah. So the first time's before his brethren, the second time's over the house of Judah. And I won't really go a lot into this tonight. It's just been too much for me, and I haven't had enough time in it. But I'm going to go into Just a few bits. So the third time, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. And this third time as king over Israel. So the first time over his brethren, the second time over the house of Judah, and the third time king over Israel. Verse 1 of 2 Samuel 5. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David and Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leadeth out and broughtest in Israel, and the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. And David was 30 years old when he began to reign. Now, I don't believe he was 30 when he was called from the sheep. I don't believe he was 30. I believe he's a lot younger. I don't know how young, but he was young, because it says he was a youth. And you wouldn't say a man of 30 is a youth. He's still young. But that's not important, maybe, but I'm just bringing out the point. Verse 5. And in Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and Jerusalem, and he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. So there's three separate times he's anointed. You could say for different things, and there's truth in that. But you see, there's something about this anointing. God's drawing our attention to this anointing. And I want to go in and read some scriptures. I've a lot of scriptures to read tonight, but maybe that'll be a base. So when I go further on, well, then you'll know what scriptures are from when I mention some other things. And there's a real revelation also in the holy anointing oil. And there's something in the holy anointing oil I want to bring out. And David's anointed with the holy anointing oil on these three occasions. And this is just not any oil that you just go and pick oil and you anoint him. But you have to go back to Moses. And you have to go back to the instructions God gave Moses. And he's actually been given instructions for a special oil that he's to make for the anointing. And when you take that oil that he's to make for anointing, there's 5 ingredients in it, and 5's grace. And it's also faith. Forsaking all, I take him. But it's grace. What I'm wanting to look at in that angle tonight. And in the book of Exodus, under the instructions given by the Lord to Moses concerning the tabernacle of Moses. Now there's a tabernacle of Moses, there's a tabernacle of David, and there's a temple also of Solomon. And every one of them, there's so many things in there, it's the same. And they all glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this tabernacle of Moses and the whole economy that God instructed Moses. And if you go back and think of it and think of in the past when we've talked about it, God anointed special men even to make the things for the tabernacle. And the menorah, or the candlestick as you'd know it, was one beaten work. And you think of the shape of it and how it comes together, 7 separate candlesticks, but it all through the oil from one bowl. And it's important, you know. And our brother Terry's just come back. And he's had a wonderful time, and he's seen all them church ages, all them places of the church ages mentioned in the Bible. And the amazing thing is, all them church ages received their oil from one bowl. So the idea that one age had more oil than another age, it's not really accurate. Because each age drew from the bowl the same oil. Not a different oil, the same oil. And they're all connected into the one bowl, if you like, of oil. You see, you know, every one of us draws from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we draw our strength from. And it's because of his grace that we draw from him. So this, we have the specific instructions concerning the holy anointing. And I'm going to read them tonight. I'm going to take my time just to read this. And I mightn't get through very much of this tonight. I won't hold you as long this evening. Exodus 30, verse 22 to 33, it's quite a long reading, but let me read you it, and you just listen, and then I'll break it down a little bit, and we'll do more of it on another night, just to bring out these things about David, how the Lord anointed him. Verse 22 of Exodus 30. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels. And think of these weights. These weights are important as well. I won't be able to do all of this tonight, but on sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and also of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of the oil, olive, and hin, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy anointing, ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the, apothecary. God bless you, brother. There's some big words in this. I'm still at school, you know, with this, brother. It shall be an holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, on the table, and all its vessels, and the candlestick, and its vessels, and all on the altar of the incense. So let me just break in on this for a moment. Every single thing has to be anointed. Are you following me? This is God's way. Every single vessel, everything has to be anointed that's in this tabernacle, and every single one of us need to be anointed. The idea that the pastor needs the anointing and the congregation doesn't, or the deacon doesn't, or the elder doesn't, is a nonsense. Everybody needs the anointing that's in the house of God. Are you following me tonight? All of us need the anointing. Just like every single individual specified vessel needs the anointing. God wants to anoint you as an individual. God wants to anoint me. And that anointing is for the work of God. That's what the anointing's for. And this anointing was on these vessels. It was a sanctifier. It was a purifier. And all these things were on it. But God gave the instructions to do it. And God wants us to have the anointing in us so that we can do the work of God. And I'm saying this tonight, to do it without it, we won't get too far. Because this is God's way and God's law, isn't it? Look at verse 26. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle, the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all its vessels, and the candlestick and the vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar burnt offering with the vessels, and the laver and his foot. Praise God. Now, all these things are familiar to me, these things in this tabernacle, because I've studied it over the years. And there's every one of them speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful how you can see the Lord in it. And when you learn it and go over it, it comes out to you again when you go into it. And it's a blessing. I'll tell you that. It's a real blessing. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. So this oil on these vessels was a sanctifier. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit is what it says. He's holy. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, wouldn't it sanctify you? It certainly will sanctify you. Amen. And all of us need that. We need it afresh. We need it more. More of the same Spirit for the work of the Lord. Verse 30 says, And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall be even cut off from his people. These are strong instructions that the Lord's given here about this special oil. This is a special oil. Can we all agree on that tonight? And can we all agree that the Holy Spirit's very special? Amen. There's people moved in the world today with all sorts of spirits, but we want the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's very special. And the Holy Spirit's very important in the church. And as a fellowship, we need to believe in the Holy Spirit. And as a congregation, we need to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to preach it and believe it and understand it. Because the Bible makes so many emphases upon it. Now, there's five different ingredients in this. And I won't have time to go through every single thing tonight, but I'll give you some highlights this evening. It was to be made of principal spices. That's one of the ingredients. Principal spices. Now let me refresh your mind. Pure myrrh, 500 shekels. Sweet cinnamon, 250 shekels. Sweet calamus, 250 shekels. Cassia, 500 shekels, which all calculates up to 1,500 shekels. That's what it calculates up to. After the standard of the sanctuary, one hin of olive oil blended all together. So all these ingredients are put in, and then there's one hin of olive oil put in, and it's all blended together. And it's the Holy Spirit that really gives us the unity, isn't it? When the Holy Spirit moves in a man's heart, did you ever think that maybe you couldn't forgive somebody or do things like that, and then the Spirit of God drops on you, and then you find yourself you can do it? You see, because we need the Lord's help, don't we, to do things? And I tell you, it'll bring it all together. See, these five ingredients blended together constitute this holy anointing oil. And the number five is significant of the grace of God, of the life of the atonement. It is only through the grace of God and the atonement of the anointing oil that it can be provided. You see, there never could be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There never could be a Pentecost until there was an atonement on the cross. But after the atonement of Calvary, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see, the Spirit answers to the blood, doesn't it? The Spirit and the blood, we need them both. The idea of divorcing one from the other, we can't do it. We need them both, don't we? We need the blood, we need the Holy Spirit, and we need the Word of God. And thank God for it. These spices were blended of the sweet and bitter of the olive oil bound together. You could read the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 13, and chapter 3, and chapter 4, and Psalms 45. But I won't go through all them scriptures tonight. I'll just read a few in a moment because of the time. You see, this is a problem when I get into this, and I'm sitting in the office, and I'm going to one scripture, and then I find another scripture, and I'm saying to myself, I haven't got enough time here. Then I get too much hay on the fork. And you don't know where to stop with it. But the Lord's word doesn't stop, you see. You know, when you first start preaching, you wonder, what am I going to preach? But after you're doing it for 30 years, you wonder how you're going to get time to preach it all. There's not much what God has on his word. And God can inspire you in a moment, and it just can open. And you could wonder what you're going to do, and then God just does it, doesn't he? You see, the olive oil blending all together spoke of the unity involved in the holy anointing of the Lord upon his ministers. And the holy anointing of the Lord upon his ministers brings them together. And the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they were of one accord. They're in one place. They were together with one mind. And I tell you, when we're together of one mind, one place, and the Spirit of God begins to move, one can prophesy, one can give tongues, another an interpretation of tongues, and the gifts of the Spirit can begin to flow and begin to move, and we can get shut up, can't we? Praise God. Psalms 133, verse 1 to 3. Behold how good and how pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I tell you, when the oil of God begins to flow, the blessing comes with it. Amen. And this is a blessing from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. I often pray it from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet, from his beard right down to the bottom of his garments. Don't you want the Lord's Holy Spirit to come all over you? That's what it's saying, that the Spirit of God would come all over you. Amen. And, you know, I know there's been a lot of emphasis in places that you don't feel it and all that, but I'll tell you what. There's a wee woman I worked with years ago, and she said it's better felt than telt. And I'll tell you, they knew it when they got it, didn't they? Praise God. Also in Exodus 30, verse 22 to 23, we've read it. It describes all these ointments and all these oils. The holy anointing oil was indeed, it was very costly. A very costly oil. And you know, there was a costly ointment poured on the Lord, wasn't there? And the disciples give off because of the costly ointment that was poured on the Lord. And it was poured on the Lord before he gave his life for that wonderful atonement. He was prepared prepared with a special ointment to go up to make atonement for us. Hallelujah. And the Lord done so much for us. Praise God. And I tell you, I think it's wonderful this evening. You see this costly Gethsemane. And you see this holy oil was indeed very costly. Gethsemane means oil press. That's what Gethsemane means. Gethsemane means oil press. That's what it means. And the Lord's life was pressed out of him at Gethsemane. Oil press. The life was pressed out of him. And didn't the prophet of God say that when Jesus Christ shed his blood, the life of the blood come back on the church. The life was pressed out of him. And the life come back in the church. And that life's the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. And the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken, make alive your mortal body. And at Gethsemane, the life was pressed out of him, just like this oil press. And the Lord was our real oil, isn't it? The Holy Spirit came because of the Lord. The anointing came because of the Lord and what he done for us. And it was through the costly suffering of Christ that the holy anointing oil of the Spirit was provided for the church. Not just for some wee group that think, you know, we're it. We're it. There's nobody else out there. God's got people everywhere. And I tell you, there's no point going about blinkered thinking the Lord will only work here and he'll only work there. The Lord will work where he wants to work. You can't put him in a box. And he's got good people everywhere all over the world. He's eagles. Praise God. You see this? It was to be compounded together. These ingredients. This compounding together spoke of that unity and blending of the sweet and bitter spices, the various trees by reason of the olive oil blended together. Psalms 133 verse 1 to 2. Behold, how good and how pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Blended together. The Lord wants us blended together. He wants unity. Real unity. Amen. True anointing and manifested. You see, when the church manifests unity, that's the true anointing. You know, I think it was maybe a brother John said one time, there's a lot of splitters and quitters. But the Lord doesn't want us to be splitters and quitters. The Lord wants us to be in unity together. And then you know what it says in the book of Acts. The Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Amen. And it's all about the unity coming together and the same vision and the same mind and the anointing coming on us with a vision to see people saved. That's what it's all about. I tell you, when somebody tells me, oh, did you hear of that wee man preaching here and another man preaching there and somebody could see him on the near condemning, and I won't be condemning it. Praise God for it. That's what I say. Another soul saved. I tell you, if one of my children come home tomorrow night and said I went to a wee hall here or there and they could see him, I'd be praising the Lord that they could see him. I tell you, you have to get saved. There'll be nobody in heaven, only them that's saved. And the Lord was pressed out here. And I'm closing the night. I'm not going to go no further. Maybe it's not very much, but I'd like more time to get more into it and really go through it. But it blessed me that the Lord did that with David. And there's so many special things about David. And there's so many special things about the Lord Jesus. And you know, when people say, but there's a man and he's just the same as the Lord, it wouldn't take very much to where you could destroy that concept. Because the Bible says no man done the things the Lord done. Do you realize that? And it says that if all was written what Jesus done, there wouldn't be enough books in the whole world to contain it, what the Lord done. And when you see men that God used, don't praise that man. It was Jesus Christ in that man that done it. It was never that man. It was the Lord in them. Because if it had been left to man, nothing would happen. But it was the Lord in man. Men that come under unity and under the Spirit of God. And God can still do it, for he's the same. The same yesterday. Who wants the Holy Spirit? The bitter and the sweet. Maybe we'll get more into another night. Praise God. But let's come and bow our heads tonight. And let's pray and just pray the Lord will help us. And bless us. And pray for the children and every family that they'll be saved, come to know the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much tonight for the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. How this press, Gethsemane speaks of the oil press. And Lord, your life was pressed out as it were. You give it a ransom for all of us, Lord. You took our place. You stood in our room and stood in our stead. But Lord, you were bruised. You were buffeted. You were spat upon. You were mistreated. The stripes peeled down your back. Your hair was clipped off from your shoulders. The stripes in your back, the psalmist says, were like a plowed field. And oh God, how you suffered for our sins and for our healing on the cross. Lord, we want to thank you tonight again. How can we ever thank you enough, Lord Jesus? We praise you for your great salvation. We praise you, Lord, when we look at this book, the Bible, that we can see you. And Lord, you're in it from the start of it to the end of it, because you're the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. You are the Amen. And how we amen you tonight, Lord Jesus. How we praise you tonight. How we would ask for the Holy Spirit to move in a greater way in our meeting. We thank you for the blessings, but we're asking for an outpouring, for the real deluge of the Holy Ghost, Lord, to come upon your people, that you'll anoint your people, that the gifts of the Spirit will be loosed amongst us. Lord, that the Holy Spirit will move on men and women in a mighty way, that they be stirred, Lord, that they be moved, Lord, that the young people be filled and inspired by the Holy Ghost, I pray. And Lord, for the sons and daughters that's not here tonight, that's not saved, and they're not serving you, Father, we would ask for them this evening. We plead the precious blood of Jesus over them tonight. And we place between them and the enemy the blood of Jesus Christ. And we ask for them, Lord, for their souls, Lord, that they'll be saved. Lord, as a brother prayed or said, that that circle will not be broken, but everyone will come and be saved, Lord Jesus, we pray. Fill the household salvation we're asking for tonight. Father, will you bless each one in this house? Lord, will you move upon your people? Lord, strengthen the bereaved, Lord, a brother Jackie, for others in the family, strengthen them, bless them. Even the widows in their own fellowship, bless them and strengthen them. In Jesus' precious name I pray. And Father, if thou wast tarry to Sunday, just bless the services, Lord, in the morning, and Samuel in the evening. Just have your way in the meetings, Lord. And bless your people, touch your people, strengthen each one in this room tonight. For the hands that was raised at the start, that you'll meet every need, Lord, pressed down and running over the top. Lord, have your way. Let the Holy Spirit come into this room. Come, Holy Spirit, we need thee. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come on thy strength and thy power. Come on thine own special way. Bless your word till our hearts tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening.